So, my beloved, I was talking to the pastor yesterday, and we were talking about the plight of the world, and it's some interesting developments going on, you got to admit. You know, in California, the sky is red. Who ever heard of such a thing? We got forest fires that burning property and timber all over on the West Coast. It's so much, it's so bad, they can see the haze in Canada. That's how bad it's become. Times seem strange. Okay. All right. They just told me I could take my mask off because I'm so far away from everybody. I can breathe. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Deke. Thank you, Pastor. And then not only as if that wasn't enough, we know that we're approaching over 200,000 deaths and almost 7 million cases of this thing related to this coronavirus. And it's so bad out that, and it seems like it's hard to know whether we're really going to see a difference by the end of the year. Violent storms that are popping up all over, and hurricanes, and the violence and the force and the frequency is just amazing, people, how bad it is getting. And if that wasn't enough, we got this thing called global warming. We got rising temperature, setting new records almost every week in these cities that 100 plus degrees, 130 something degrees. I'm just wondering, how hot does it have to be to fry an egg? 130 something degrees. And again, as if that wasn't enough, then we have this, the street violence and the political wars and the foreign intrusions and the racial tensions and more. It's like the earth is crying out for relief to me. It's like it's just building and building and building to a point that it might actually pop. Not just the earth, but the people too. Yeah, if there's ever a time for revival, this is the time, right now. A time to find peace when there's so much struggle and turmoil, this would be the moment. Oh Lord, please speak to us today in the name of Jesus. My beloved, I want to draw on a biblical story that's pretty common that I'm sure know it. And I'm going to use that to share some insights that can help us face our trials that we're dealing with today. And do it in a way without losing our minds and without losing ourselves in what's going on around us. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Joshua. And we're going to lift a couple of verses out of that very first chapter, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, to serve as a focal point for today's message. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. In the King James Version translation, you'll find these words recorded. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I did give to them, even to the children of Israel." And my beloved, for a few moments of your time, I want to dwell on the topic, homeward bound. If I perish, that song that was just sang, I know where I'm going. Homeward bound. Let us pray. Precious God Almighty, we thank you for again an opportunity to commune together on your word, to sing songs of praise, to pray and to lift you up and to feel your presence, God. We're delighted that you continue to be with us, even though sometimes we come up short. Maybe it's more than sometimes, maybe it's oftentimes. But there thou art, remaining faithful with us. We'll call on that faithfulness now, this evening, Lord, that thou wilt take this process of preaching and make it easy for this preacher. Hide me behind your cross, that it not be me that speaks, but it's you speaking through me, so that the words that come forth, God, are what is needed for this moment, this time. Speak, O God, your servants hear and we obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My beloved, in today's focal verse, God is instructing Joshua to move to a new locale. I call it a new place, home. You see, because for 40 years, they had wandered through the wilderness due to their distrust or lack of confidence in God. And that decision cost them 40 years of wandering until God changed their predicament. But at this point, this juncture in time, God is giving good news to Joshua that now he is invited again to go into the promised land, the place that God has made available for them to inhabit, and that God promised that he would provide for them. So for 40 years, it seems Joshua never lost sight of home. It seemed as though he kept his gaze on where they were headed, and he never lost sight of that. Something we can learn about that, my beloved, as we're dealing with the challenges in life today, let us not forget, where is home? Where is home? Now, I know you might be thinking, like, if we're out traveling, like I have done years ago, and I'm on the road, and I'm sleeping in hotels and doing stuff out there, ministry work, but there's no place like home to sleep in my own bed, to enjoy the comfort of my own home and feel the surroundings that are familiar to me. But we're talking about a different kind of home. We're not talking about a temporal home. We're talking about that internal place with God forever. Home. But this home that God is talking to Joshua about, where they're going to go inhabit the land, is an earthly home, an earthly destination. And my beloved, I want to just unpack Joshua's story a little bit for you. You see, here's some background. God had promised a man named Abram that he would bless Abram and bless the people that bless him and curse the people that curse him. And he told this man, Abram, that he would give him a new name, and he caused that name to become Abraham, which means father of many nations. And he told Abraham this, and in Genesis 17 and 8, he says, "And I will give unto thee and thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." But there's a problem with this from the natural eye, because Abraham and his wife Sarai, changed to Sarah, were childless and very old. How are they going to have a seed that's going to inherit a land that God's going to give? Don't quite seem possible. But how many know that God is fine with working with the impossible? And here we had that God fixed this thing, and Abraham and Sarah gave birth to their first child, or second child, actually from Abraham, but Sarah's first child, and this was the child of promise. And through multiple generations that followed, God continued to manifest his promise to them to multiply Abraham's seed, his offspring, and to prosper them. And my beloved, they did prosper. They moved to Egypt because of a drought. And while there, they were flourishing so much that the Egyptians had a problem with that. They became jealous, and they worked some kind of finagle in which they enslaved all of the children of Israel. Now they're slaves. Wait a minute. These are God's chosen, but they're enslaved. My beloved, they were enslaved 400 years. How many generations is that? Think about it. Children that are born in slavery and die in slavery. Then the next generation come and experience the same thing after generation, not knowing freedom. Somebody in this room might be able to relate to that if you are of African-American descent, right? To be born in slavery, to live in slavery, and to die in slavery. It's got to be a hard place to be, Pastor. Now, you know, I must admit there's so much of this story to tell, and time just not permit me to do that. So permit me to give you kind of the Cliff Notes version, because there's just so much ground to cover. But I want to get to that point in which God is commissioning Joshua for the scope of work he's about to take on. But I do encourage you to read the full story, starting somewhere around Genesis 11, and take yourself all the way through Joshua 24, and you'll get a bigger picture of what's going on. But permit me to proceed. So God, at this point, when Israel is being enslaved, he dispatches a savior, a deliverer, who goes by the name of Moses. Y'all know Moses? Moses, the one that had difficulty with speaking. But God told him that he would be his voice for him, that God would speak directly to him, and then he would speak to his brother to share with Pharaoh what is God saying. And this same God that sent 10 plagues to Pharaoh to get his attention and finally caused him to relent and let go of the children of Israel. So at that point, then they became free to leave. And at this point, the Egyptian was so happy to see them go, they gave them jewels and fabric and stuff and said, here, take your God with you. Get out of here. And they left. And they began heading towards this place that God had promised them. This land that is described as the land that flowed with milk and honey. That's an acronym or a phrase in their time that means that it is rich and fertile and a prized estate to be. It's an outstanding dwelling place to inhabit. And when they reached the land, they finally got there. And to make sure things were good, they sent across the border 12 spies to go to survey, to survey the land and to discover, is it as good as God said it is? And how is it going to be to take it? Because there are some folk that already live there. So what happens? Truly the land was prosperous. Truly it had huge fruit and it's just a beautiful place to inhabit. But 10 of the 12 spies dissuaded the people because of fear. These folks are giants. How are we going to win against them? But there were two in their midst, two of the 12, Joshua and Caleb, that tried to encourage the people and said, if God gives it to us, we can have it. Let's go get the land. They're right there at the brink of the land. And they said, no. Now, I don't understand. God had delivered them through plagues from a man who considered himself God, Pharaoh. God had opened up the Red Sea for them to go across dry land and then close the sea upon Pharaoh as he perished and his armies. They have seen God do some incredible things, including open up the ground and swallow people that would not obey and follow. And yet going into Canaan was too hard, too difficult, too scary. And in my mind, for a moment, they forgot what God said that he's going to do for them. This home that God had prepared for them. And so as a result of them not doing what God commanded, he made them wander through the wilderness a year for every day that they surveyed Canaan. And for 40 years, they wandered around. Just was that close to the brink of where they were supposed to be. Got detoured because of decisions they made. My beloved, this is not unlike today. You know, if God tells us to go right and we hesitate, we might miss. If God tells us to do something and we decide not to act on it, it might cost us something. It certainly cost them something. And in these 40 years, those that said, no, we can't do it, every one of them perished. Everyone, gone. So now God has a new crew to work with, right?
Somebody
huh? So let me talk a little bit about Joshua. Because this message is kind of centered on him to try to find an answer. How we deal with all this stuff that's going on in the world today. You know, Joshua is described as Moses' minister. That's in Exodus 24 and 12. We know that in Exodus, he witnessed the plagues that God sent to free them from the Pharaoh that led to their freedom. He saw the Red Sea open up to let them go across, and then it closed back upon Pharaoh and his army. He witnessed the victory through God of other nations that warred against them as they continued to make their progress to where God was sending them. He witnessed God even open up the Jordan River in a time that it was flooding, that they could go across the Jordan River. And then so excited was Joshua that he commanded them to erect stones in the water so that when generations in the future would come by that spot and see these stones, they would be reminded what God did for them. Joshua, who was at the brink of going into the promised land, and God said, no, not yet. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Joshua and I was that close, I would be not happy. That close. Close enough for them to go and spy and to come back. But nowhere will you find in God's word that Joshua was angry about the outcome, that he was bitter about the outcome. It suggests to me that he kept his focus. He knew what God said was going to happen, and he continued to do what was required of him in being Moses' minister up until the point in which he became then the leader of the children of Israel. In my mind, he's some kind of person to not get bitter about what happened and to keep on moving forward. So look, God then promotes Joshua. The Lord said in Joshua 1 and 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. So the children of Israel now are crossing over the Jordan River. And they began to have victories all over against their enemies. One battle comes to mind in which this fortified city with huge thick walls called Jericho. And God caused the walls to fall down, just expose the enemy. And Joshua and his armies prevailed against those that had inhabited Jericho. So are there lessons to learn from this? Just the little bit that I've shared with you? I think so. I think there are. And I'm going to highlight for you just a couple that I think can help us deal with pandemics and violence and weather, violent weather and raging fires, life-threatening climate changes, global unrest, violence, wars, and rumors of wars, economic plight, and the list goes on. I think there are at least two lessons we could get from what happened in Joshua's case. Number one, it has to do with the company we keep. My beloved, when the people decided they did not want to go and inhabit the land after the spies came back with their report, God allowed them or caused them to wander until those that disobeyed or rebelled until they all died. In some sense, God was purging the children of Israel. What's the lesson for us? I think the lesson is simply this, that we need to don't walk with people who don't walk with God. Can I say that again? Do not walk with people who do not walk with God. Now, I'm not saying we just break up all connection with all people. I'm not saying that. There are folks that we want to witness to and share the word with. But the people in our inner circle that are closest to us, must be loving God as much, if not more, than we are. That's one lesson I get from what happened with Joshua, is that purging that God did to rid them of the people that were stumbling blocks, that got in the way of what God was doing with the people. Now, let me give you a New Testament scripture to support that concept. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, "Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion have light with darkness?" I mean, it's asking questions that are really kind of absurd to ask, because the truth of the matter is light and dark don't coexist. As soon as light show up, dark has to surrender. And the unequally yoked, some people think of that in terms of marriages. But this is broader than that. This is whoever you connect with that is part of your inner circle. Don't yoke with people who are not seeking God. Because what will they do? The same thing that happened to the children of Israel. They'll cause you to miss your blessing if you follow what they say do. My beloved, we got to remember something. That God has told them that he had a place for them to go. Their home, their new home. And I'm going to bring that back to us, because God has already told us where we're going to go. And our new home. Oh, let's put a little park right there and come back to that, because there's so much more to say about that. So listen, my beloved, the second thing I get from these passages about Joshua and the children of Israel is to remember your ultimate destination. Where are we heading? Joshua 24 and 13 says, "And I have given you a land," this is God speaking, "for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye did not build, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, ye eat." Do you understand what God is telling them? Not only am I giving you a place to go, it's fertile and it is ready to move in. It's furnished. Wow. Now, let me bring this to New Testament, because this is more relevant for us. Jesus in John 14 talks about a place that he was going away to prepare for us, and that he would come back and receive us to himself. It's the preparation that God had done through these other people that inhabited in the land of Canaan. He's doing much better, far beyond that, in preparing this place for us one day when we join him in the eternal realm. Now, there are promises of God that he's given. Some say maybe 3,000 in the Bible. Some said, no, it's at least 10 times that. I don't know what the number is, but one thing for sure, whatever the number is, God has never or will ever not make one of his promises come true. Everything God promises, he will perform. You know why I say that? The Bible says he's not a man that he should lie. Whatever God speaks must come to pass. And he doesn't get started and going down one path and decide, I think I need to do something different and go a different direction. That's not God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no turning in him. He is who he is. And that's why he declares himself as I am that I am. That's like one of the pastor's messages, doesn't it? Yes, Jesus promises return to us. And those promises we can bank on. There's a song we sing about standing on the promises of God, right? Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, stand on the promises of God. My beloved, God promised the children of Israel a new home, and he delivered on that promise. Now, let me say a little bit more about Joshua, because eventually his journey came to a close. Joshua chapter 24, verse 29 says, "And it came to pass after these things after they had settled and divvied up the land, that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
110 years old. What? My beloved, one day this may be our fate too. But we are homeward bound. You know, we're not trying to get to the land of Canaan. We're trying to get to the heavenly shores of heaven, right? Now, let me tell you what Jesus said. And I love this passage, this series of passages. John 14, verses 1 through 4, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Then he goes on to say, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye shall be also." Then he goes on to say, "And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Now, one of his disciples said, "But Lord, how can we know?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." I know there's the late deacon, his voice, I could almost hear it in my spirit. And he would often say, "Rev, don't unpack your bags because we're just passing through. This is not your home." Beloved, this is not our home. This world is temporal. Everything that's going on and in it must come to an end at some point. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how much of that we have to endure, it cannot last always. Amen. It has an end. It has an end. But the problem is, too many of us cling to the temporal things like wealth and precious gems and metals and so forth. But I want to let you know something about heaven. Heaven used that stuff for building materials. Gold is used to make the streets. Pearls is used to make the gates. The emeralds and all the fine gems are used to make up the city. My beloved, that stuff is nothing compared to God and what he provides. There are also those of us that cling to the earthly comforts. I do that sometimes too. I admit to it. There's some things I just like, you know. But if God took it away, I think I would probably survive. Deacon Smith, I would make it. But let me remind you, the best is yet to come. Listen to the word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." We don't have the foggiest idea how good it's going to be. Now, I wasn't going to say this, but I'll go ahead and put it out there. I love my children. I love them dearly. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to not be thinking about them. I know what you're saying. I love y'all too. I feel connected to you. I love my church. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to be in so awe in the presence of God. There's nothing else that can enter this mind but God. My spirit, my presence is going to be saturated with his presence. That's what is available to us when we make it home. That's why this message is called Homeward Bound. No matter what's happening on the East Coast and the West Coast, no matter what's happening with climate change, no matter what's happening with these violent storms, no matter what's happening with the rioting and the protesting, no matter what happened with who gets in the White House for the next 4 years, no matter any of that, I have a place nobody can detour me from. I have a place to land where nobody can prevent me from getting there. In fact, they might speed me up to get there sooner. I don't know how that's going to work. But we all have a time that's appointed for us to live and a time to die. So I have to remember the eternal state. If you're feeling down, if you need to be recharged, remind yourself that you are homeward bound. This is not your home. You're passing through. Whatever you face, hear what Apostle Paul said. And I love how he put this in Romans 8 and 18. He said, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." He said, no matter how bad it gets, it'll never be as good. It'll never pale what God has for us in his glory. It'll never be that. It'll all be forgotten. Forgotten. We got to remember we're homeward bound. Home where the wicked cease from troubling. Home where God wipes away our tears. Home where there's no suffering or pain anymore. Home where there would be a refreshing available through the rivers of life. Home where the glory of God is the sun and moon in heaven, because the sun and the moon are not required. Home where the Lord is beckoning each and every believer home. Home, sweet home. Yes, don't unpack your bags. We just passing through. Finally, in the midst of this 21st century series of challenges, there is a guarantee that God has given us. Jesus said that he would come back for us and then bring us back with him. So what we're dealing with right now, this temporal loss and the temporal struggles and these limited issues that we're encountering, let us not lose sight of the eternal and what is yet to come. No matter how bad it gets, this ought to be enough to refresh you, to think, right? If you know how the story ends, we're the underdogs. And in God's case, every underdog wins. Yeah, I've had some dismal points. There's some times I got so vexed I had to turn the TV off and not listen to the internet anymore. I had to just get away from stuff. It was pulling down my spirit. I've complained about it sometimes over the phone when we were doing church. I just said, you know, it was too much and I had to break away. It's okay to break away. It's okay. And surround yourself with people that know God and can talk about what's yet to come and his promises that will be fulfilled. It's okay to do that. Amen? So I hope this little reminder actually refreshes us to not get so fixed on what's happening around us and keep our gaze set on heaven's shores where we are going, and none can prevent us from arriving. That alone should revive us. That alone should restoke the fire that was going out in some of us. That alone, just know that God's got that covered. He's got it covered. Sister Aberee, God's got that covered. It's fixed in him. Amen. Amen. Would you join me in giving God some glory for the message today? Thank you, God.